Welcome to Deads on the Possum. Deads on the Possum? What happened there? I think it's still brain dead from New Year's.
Okay, we're doing it live!
Fail. We're the fail army.
That's farmy.
Flarmy.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 92nd episode of Dead Zone the Podcast for January 2019. In this episode, we catch up on the news and shoutouts from over the holidays. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. Now on to the episode. Welcome to Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 92. It's now 2019, Jack. It's the future.
The future is now. You have to dress like we're in Blade Runner.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you get your fancy Blade Runner clothes sent to you? Everyone gets a mandatory Blade Runner outfit. I have my see-through raincoat already, so.
Oh. Dapper.
and my synthetic snake is on pre-order.
Okay. But also, the anime movie Akira was also set this year, so...
Well, sorry, Japan.
Hopefully...
It was nice knowing you.
Yeah.
I wonder how the rest of the world is. Japan's all going to hell, and there's a crazy monster, but I wonder if, like, the rest of the world's just like us, like we are right now.
In both of those movies, like, you get outside of the Blade Runner...
Yeah, you're outside of, L.A. or Tokyo, and everything's just normal. We never did see what Nebraska looks like in those movies.
That's true.
Anyways, on to Dead Zone.
We have to.
I guess so. It's kind of in our mandate.
Okay.
We do have some news because Mantic had their 12 days of Christmas on their blogs. We're gonna we'll have the Cole's notes of it, but if you're really interested in all the details, go there to the Mantic blog and read it all. But we'll hit the highlights here, the important stuff. And the first thing that they announced from Community Pat was North American events. So there's events coming. The first event is the I think it's C2E2. Yes, it's in Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. It's March 22nd to 24th, which is the weekend before Adepticon. And it's they're going to be showing off Hellboy and Here's Negan, obviously both comic book based. So what a perfect place to be showing off that kind of stuff. I think that's very ingenious of them. No, you don't think so?
Oh, sure.
I was throwing it to you, Jack.
You did, but you threw me like quite a lame. Like I can't punch up that. If you're gonna have to get, you have to throw me something that I can work with.
Okay, then on March 27th to 31st is Adepticon. Have you
my wife?
Have you heard of Adepticon?
Yes, I have. In fact, we will be going to Adepticon. We will be attending Adepticon.
That's true. It is true. They're debuting Hellboy there. Hopefully it'll be done by then. They're going to have more model lines to add to Vanguard and Kings of War. And Dead Zone Warpath and The Walking Dead will be there in full swing. Obviously, our friend Rick Hall is running the Dead Zone tournament. And he's got some crazy stuff going on. We later will see something that he's been working on for that. But, we're also running the Mech Zone, or Mech Wars as it's called in the book, which is wrong. And we'll be doing that on Friday and Saturday, so do sign up for those if they're not sold out by now. Actually, don't sign up for the Friday ones. We want a day off, so just sign up for the Saturday ones.
Yeah, we can ask Boss Man if we can just, sit one out.
Yeah, sit and have some sweet tea on the porch.
Yeah, yeah. Watching the rest of the chain gang work while we sit and eat 50 eggs. But
Pat sitting there in his white suit, and he'd be like, get back to work, boys.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's vigilant. He's a harsh taskmaster. He didn't ask. He demanded to be called Pharaoh. So
it's true. That is a true story.
But it's a true story. A little known fun fact that if you work for Pat, you call Pharaoh.
Yep. April 25th to 28th is Little Wars, also in Lombard, Illinois. It's going to be a vendor-only event. No tournaments or anything, but Mantic will be there. I guess Little Wars is the next big and upcoming thing. It's been going for a while, but it's a lot of people are going to that instead of Adepticon. I think Adepticon's becoming a little too corporate, and people are trying to find an alternative. And Little Wars seems to be one of the alternatives that people are trying out. And it's in Lombard, Illinois, which I assume is also near Chicago.
There is a trend where Adepticon is starting to go back to its older roots.
Well, I've heard from various different people, I won't name names, but vendors who are not going back to Adepticon because they feel they've been done wrong, or at least feel like they've been left to, you know, all those years that they kept the event going. Now GW's back, that it's kind of all the little guys are getting pushed out a bit. Not to mention, well, last year even Ninth Age from the unofficial GW game, the continuation of Fantasy, they got literally kicked out of the building. They had to go to a different hotel nearby to do their events because GW wouldn't have them in the building. So I think that's the way of the future with Adepticon, so we'll see how it goes. But Mantic being big enough, they can hold their weight, but these little guys are getting knocked down, I think.
Well,
sadly.
Yeah, and then there's going to be pushback, and it won't necessarily be Little Wars in Lombard, but it could be, so.
Yep. And then there's Historicon, which is July 10th to 14th. That's on the East Coast. Once again, it's a vendor event. It's hard to say. But they also plan to hold Dead Zone Vanguard and Kings of War tournaments there, so that's kind of cool, too. Anytime they get to all these little tournaments in North America, that's where you spread the word, getting right to the player base to see these games. So hopefully they can get some more traction on those ones. And another little less known event is on August 1st to 4th. It's a little thing. I think it's just starting up. It's called Gen Con. It's just a little event. And it's in Indianapolis, that little town, and Podunk Town. And it's Mantic's fifth year going, actually. So fifth year straight. I think they've gone before that, but it's the fifth year in a row. And obviously Gen Con is not a little event. It is the biggest event in gaming in North America, at the very least. And Mantic's also got, they always have a big presence. They have the booth, plus they have a lot of different, it's usually there, it's not so much tournaments, it's more like one-off games, or that's how Gen Con is. It's based off of role-playing games where you used to just play like one-offs and stuff, one-shots, so it's less a tournament setting and more that kind of setting. Although I think they'd still do a Kings of War tournament there. And then last is PAX Unplugged next year in November. I'm not sure where PAX Unplugged is. I think it's in Boston, if I'm not mistaken, but I could be completely wrong. But they are doing that also, so that's good. They're expanding. Pat keeps saying, "Oh, I want to contract. I don't want to do so much stuff." And then he expands to do all these different companies. I'm sure he's just like, "Why did I sign up for this?" And I'm sure we'll be talking to him about all these events coming up. So. We can ask him, why did you do all this, Pat?
Why?
So that's the events coming that they announced. They also announced that Winged Hussar, or Zmok Books, have 3 Dead Zone novels planned, as we talked about before. But we have some more information about them. The first two are Robert E. Waters' The Last Hurrah, which come out in September. The first one comes out in September 2019, so not too far. And we don't know anything about that one. But it's coming. Then the second one is Mark DeSantis, Operation Iridium. That's 2020. And then the third is a really interesting, is Christopher Verspeek is republishing his Warpath novel First Strike under Zmok's banner, not just, originally it was just Mantic published it. And that's coming out in November 2019. And they're going to do 2 more novels in it to make a trilogy out of that. So it's great to see that they're not just abandoning the old writers. And Verspeak's getting in there, because we do love it. We both enjoyed First Strike, and we've enjoyed his short story, so it'll be cool to see more coming from him.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
So I'm excited about that. For Warpath Firefight, as much as we say the game is dead, there is some more stuff coming out for it. March 2019, we got the Plague Army launch, which It's pretty much just all the Dead Zone stuff plus vehicles smushed together. So you're getting the undead Hornet. You're getting the what's the car called again? I always forget the name of that thing.
It's technically the Mule. But that's the Ravager version with all the gribbly bits on it.
Yeah, and you get three Striders. I don't know about Warpath. Dead Zone Striders for Peleg, we've talked about many times, aren't very good, but I guess for Warpath, they're probably pretty good. And a whole bunch of Plague, including a Stage 1. No Aberration, I've noticed, which is strange, but there you go.
Strange, but not. Having a Aberration in Star Saga was interesting, but having it, mainly in Dead Zone, like there could be some sort of canon reason why they're not out on the battlefield or whatnot. But I'm looking at that right now. That army list. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you want to see the pictures we've got on Podbean, you can take a look and see what's in the package. And that's quite a handful. If you wanted to play Dead Zone, you could have that and some fancy vehicle models to paint
and scenery. That,
that's a damn fine purchase right there.
Yeah, you're pretty much getting, well, not everything, because you're not getting Murderbirds, you're not getting Bursters, but you're getting all the old stuff pretty much. Like, not the old stuff, but the not the new hotness, as in the Plague Bursters, Aberrations, or what else are you not? Oh, you're not getting a Plague Enforcer.
Plague Swarms.
Plague Swarms, yep. No Plague Swarms there. I think pretty much everything else, though. The new version of the Stage 3 is tons of zombies.
Yeah. But to be honest, what's shown right there is what I played for Plague for the first 4 or 5 years that played the game. So, that's a nice base if you wanted to play some Dead Zone.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, yeah, you could do what you'd like with them. Also, the Nameless are getting an army in Warpath and Firefight, obviously. That was a no-brainer, I think, the moment Nameless were announced for Dead Zone. And the beta's out now on... we'll have the link in the show notes for that. They have a beta for it from the Rules Committee for Warpath and Firefight. Did you know that was a thing, Jack?
I know there... I do know that Rules Committees are a thing, Rob. That's an odd question.
It's strange.
That was a very odd question. But, I had heard rumors that there wasn't going to be any push for the Nameless as an army from some circles. But then from an inside source, I was told that, it's on its way and it's going to be great. So, cool. Very trusted inside source.
And they did post some pictures with it, which I don't know if we've seen these pictures before, but it's just a nice group of Nameless. This probably isn't necessarily what the army's going to be, but they posted some. We get all the Gribblies together and in nice atmospheric lighting. I just thought I'd throw them in there because they're pretty pictures.
Yeah.
And I really do like the brain guy with the tentacles. I think whoever painted that was obviously it's the house painter. He did a really good job on the little, what are they called, the brain guys? Scuttlers?
I believe that's the Inker.
Inker. Yeah, Scuttler's the other ones, yeah.
Scuttler looks more so like a... The small ones have less to do with an aquatic animal, I could just say. It looks more like a spider crab.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not necessarily aquatic, because you got the other big guy there, the ogre. He's definitely a crab. He's got crab claws and crab shell. Unless he's one of those things that, like, take over the dead body, like the dead shell of something else. Maybe his actual body's just like a worm-like thing that just goes inside there. Like, the face part, that's what he actually looks like.
Oh, like, for the story alone, like, there's some other non-sentient creature like that just, lurks in the bottom of the Nameless planet sea, and then this little worm gets in a parasite.
Mm-hmm.
It's eaten, grows in the stomach, eats the internal organs out, and then finally just...
Just lives in the shell, yeah.
Oh, see?
That's what I choose to believe.
Well, we should get on the horn with Christopher Verspeak and just say, hey, Chris, between you and us, you know, this one's for free. We got a thing about the ogres we think you might want to, you know, slip into your next literary creation.
That's right. We did get some Dead Zone news. Outbreak is sold out and it's not being reprinted, which you'd think would be bad news, but it's good news because they sold a lot of those, more than they expected. That's why it's sold out. But it's because it's going to make way, instead of just reprinting it, they're going to make way for the new book in summer. I'm sure you could still get this book on the secondary market. It's just that Mantic itself doesn't have any. And I think the PDF is available online anyway, so you can always just read that on their, I think it's under the free rules section, Outbreak.
Yes, if you felt you need to have the physical copy because you're making a library of sorts, you're SOL. But if you want to play the game, Mantic gives you the tools to do that for free, and there you go. You don't need to worry your pretty little head over not having that copy, especially, you know, if they're going to be releasing a book every summer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just around the corner.
And I'm sure once summer comes, if you do want that for your collection, people will be selling off the Outbreak books for the next version. So, because it'll be replaced, just like in King's War with the different yeared books. King's War does, I think the Clash of Kings, at least they put a year on it. I kind of like that a little bit more. They should call it, like, the next one should be Dead Zone, whatever, and have the year at the bottom. Just so you kind of know which the newest version is. Because right now, okay, Outbreak's the new one, and then whatever, the next one. But five down the road, you're like, is Outbreak the new one? I just see it at the store here. Is that the newest one? You know, like, just so you know.
Can we save that for the final segment when we do the hate? Because I do have to say about that.
But there's always room for hate, Jack. This is Dead Zone the podcast. This ain't no team building exercise.
The award-winning team building exercise?
I'm sorry. They also announced an incoming Intel deck. It's an entirely optional deck of cards. It's going to be similar to the V1 cards with the objectives that you can score extra VPs on, but it'll be every round. I think you get a new card, and I think there's something similar in, I don't know if it's, I think in Warpath there is something similar, but there's also something similar in Kings of War, I believe. So they're just adding another, really it's another thing for them to sell, which is kind of smart. But if you find your games getting stale, you can get this deck, and it'll add different ways to score VPs, and maybe if you have to start raising the VP cost if you can score VPs that fast, otherwise games might end pretty quick.
Remember version 1, the cards were a very, very integral part of the gameplay. This is, you know, taking the fun aspects. The cards were good.
But sometimes the cards were like so hard. I think this is, since you get new ones every round, you could trade them in, and if you can't do it, you don't have to do it. Where in the first version, I remember in the first tournament, people were complaining because they literally got cards they couldn't succeed at.
Yeah,
so this is just fun. Because as you complete more objectives, you draw new cards and earn extra VPs and stuff. Oh, you can also trade in cards for rerolls, kind of like that's similar to Dreadball. So it's kind of neat that they're kind of combining all the different cards from all the different games into a little cross-promotion thing for all the ways to sell things. That's the key.
A little selling things, yes. If you want to be, if you want to be cynical about it, Rob. But it also makes a flavor of the Warpath universe. All the games kind of have it the same. You know, you put it in your mouth. You go, oh yeah, that tastes like the Warpath.
And also, they said that some cards will trigger special events, which is kind of cool. And it could be races to reach certain locations or bonus for particular units and stuff. So that's kind of fun. They're also, the big news, I think, is that they're re-releasing Stuntbots. Stuntbots! Stuntbots are back, Jack.
And I like that Stuntbot.
Yes, it's they're going to be in resin. Like, I think the original one was in resin, too. So the price point won't be cheap, but it's going to have alternate arms from the original. So you can build a melee-heavy or a ranged-heavy version. And the new arm options will be available separately from the website. So if you have the old Stuntbot, you can rip off the old arms, get the new arms. And yes, we have a render of the new one. It's got a big gun, underslung gun, kind of Forgefather style, and a huge claw, which I like the claws, a three-pronged claw.
fun. What I like about the stunt bot, in so much as that it does, it looks like a combination of a few different factions. That underslung gun you said looks Forge Fathery, and yes, it does. But that claw on the other side's 100% Marauder. Then you look at the pauldrons and some of the other parts, that looks very, very Enforcers.
Yeah.
And you just add the bulky body with the rivets and stuff. Like it looks like a kind of like an old.
Yeah, it's like the original tech that the Forge Fathers gave the Enforcers, because that's what Stumpbots are supposedly, the old version of the Strider. So it kind of makes sense. It looks a little more worn down, and obviously, like you said, the claw was added later, and they grabbed a Forge Father gun from somewhere, welded it onto the bottom of it. It's fun, though. I do like Stumpbots, and I thank God they're finally coming back. We can't complain. That's one less thing we complain about. That's taking away all of our fun.
It's true. Our last segments can be getting smaller and smaller.
And they're also releasing a new mini stunt bot in the form of Bolts, the leader for the Marauder faction, who is a goblin in a sort of mini Strider suit. This one is contentious, I think. I'm not sure what you feel about it, Jack, but I think it's a little too cartoony. The little goblin head, the robot goblin head, a little cartoony. A little too GW, I'm feeling here. What do you think?
I've never been one of those to shirk my duties as a straight shooting. If I like it, I like it, and if I don't, I don't. I say it. And to be honest, I don't have any strong feelings one way or the other. It's a hero for a faction. It's a hero for a faction I don't plan to use.
I like it other than the head. Like, if it was like a little more of a dome, maybe that's something I'll be modding up, I'm sure, if I get one. Make it a little different. Make it a dome or something so you can still see the goblin, but yeah, I wonder if we can get a big stompy robot. Domes are hard to come by since they're, big stompy robots are hard to get, but, yeah, something. I just don't like that goblin head. Too cartoony.
Yeah, if that was indicative of, say, troops you had to field, I would say, oh, that's nonsense. But one crazy scientist goblin and a made up Strider, I can't muster up the. I don't know. I'm getting old, buddy. I'm getting old. I got bigger fish to fry than this.
It's you gotta get some energy going there, Jack.
Oh, okay. Well, when I see. When they bring the heat with like a Asterion Strider or something,
there we go. That's our new stunt bot, is the fact that there's no Asterion Striders. Thank you, Jack.
Oh,
I was feeling a little depressed there that we had nothing to complain about.
Oh,
no sleep until Asterion Striders.
We have purpose to serve in the community, and that's it.
We're a voice of dissent. The other new render they showed was the new nameless Ferromite. Ferromite. He's kind of a combo between, he's like a smaller ogre, but with the, Rifleman has the squid legs.
I kind of like him.
I had a feeling you would. You're all into the, nameless aesthetic.
but he's got like the mechanical bits. He's got a face that looks like it's an abyssal. He's got I like the direction he goes away from what the Nameless have, but also keeps really close to that and incorporates some of the other stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, he looks like he's barfing up worms, and I like it.
I believe that's his actual face, but he did actually. You're right, though. He did remind me, for some reason, his stance or something reminded me of the Nameless or the Abyssals. Something about him is abyssal to me.
Yeah, like his nose and his eyes, like I can just see it in there. I like that one.
Even with the way his shell kind of goes up, it almost looks like he has horns. Maybe that's it too. Just the silhouette is almost abyssal like.
Could be, because it looks like a trilobite just clinging to his back.
maybe it's a there we go. It's a parasitic entity. So it's, the guy is the. is the guy, and then the trilobite's the thing on the back.
And those aren't worms. Those aren't tendrils out of space. Those actually eat his tongue. They're now active.
Yeah, like those worms that in the fish. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah. Everyone, go on to Google right now and look up. I think it's a louse. Like it's a tongue louse. Either way, it's a delight, and it will not haunt your dreams.
Yeah. And the last update we have is from Hellboy. The final production minis were shown off. So we have Hellboy about to punch somebody, and we have that demon guy about to slash Hellboy. Looks like they're fighting already. We got Cronin with his little gas mask. We got Elsa, the pointing at Cronin like she's like, look, there's something in your ear. I don't know, it's a very close-up point. And we have Rasputin, and then the Hecate in her non-armored form. And then all the tokens for the player tokens, and I think the last two are the like clue token and the tracker for the, it's not darkness tracker, is it? Something like that. That's moving along, creeping chaos, something like that, crawling chaos. Anyways, they have all these beautiful production minis, so this is actually what they're going to look like. This isn't renders, this isn't resin prints. This is them. Jack, I know you're not huge on Hellboy, but you are a miniature person. What do you think about these miniatures?
I am a very small person. Thank you for pointing out that I'm literally to scale smaller than the
Everybody actors. Thinks you're normal. Actually, everybody thinks you're a bit bigger than normal, but you're just that you're a lot closer to them than they realize.
I literally just look. I just cling to the lens camera.
Yeah. And
By pushing myself up against the aperture, I just look larger. I didn't, other than the Hellboy movies, I've never read the comic books. I think I saw a cartoon once, and I was like, eh, not my thing. And really, Hellboy's not my bag. But I saw a kind of a YouTube video about how the Del Toro movies matched the comic book, not in the chronological order, but took a lot of the beats and stuff, and it was very fascinating. And I can now see being introduced to it that way, why people love Hellboy and why the style is as important as it is, and I've grown to appreciate more so. So seeing these and looking at them and knowing what they are, knowing Rasputin now, you know, even as a non like fan, they look good.
Yeah, I think they look really good in their detail, at the very least. I like the, I know that the aesthetic had to be approved by Mike Mignola himself. Like they had like actual rules. I remember them saying that they couldn't show Hellboy with his hand open because Hellboy's never been shown with his hand open, and Mike Mignola's like, I don't even know what's in there, so you can't show it. So every time you have to show him, you have to have his hand closed, and like things like that, where it was overseen by the creator. So you know it's going to be up to his standards. It must be pretty good standards. So, and then the actual production, which was, you know, you never know with production means. You see the renders and all that, and you think, oh, that's beautiful, but to actually see the details they're getting, and I especially like the player tokens as little just models to paint. I think you could sell those to people as a separate thing that has nothing to do with the game, just for people to paint on, because they're going to be bigger and very cool, very detailed and exciting.
That's one thing, because there are people who like to just paint busts, like just like that. They won't be like large size busts. That's not what I'm going for, but just as a like a, I don't know, people like just to paint the face and the shoulders and stuff and take their time on just that rather than as a play piece, like as a full mini. I'm looking forward to seeing them as they get out into the wild, people, what they do with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a feeling these are going to be well painted. Not to mention there's going to be a lot of people who are into this game that never played any miniatures game before. So it'll be good to see all the people that are really good at it to show off what you can do and hopefully get more people into the miniature painting in general. So
the hobby aspect.
Yeah, the hobby side. Yeah. So hopefully that happens. Because once again, these are going to be all one piece miniatures. So you don't have to assemble them, but you will have to paint them if you want or not. Because, hey, you don't have to paint your board game miniatures if you don't want to. I think actually if you do some, just like a black and white zenith on them, they probably look awesome too. Just get some angles. Black, white, and red. I think that's all you need.
Yeah.
So that's about it for our news. It's been a long news. It's been the holidays, so it's been a while since we actually talked to you people, and, that was our news segment. We'll take a break. We'll be back with some shoutouts because they've been piling up too. Good?
Good.
Hello, this is Martin. Fashion, t-shirts, books, Dead Zone, the podcast.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. This is episode 92. We are balls deep in, and we're coming in hot and heavy with some shout-outs. So, Rob, what has the player base given us to take a gander at?
Our first one is from Eric Arcaduz.
That was a noble attempt. No, honestly, I'm sure he's not insulted that you just bastardized his name in such a way that really, it couldn't have been done more comedic if you had even tried.
Arcadouche? I'm sorry, Eric. We are terrible human beings and cannot pronounce names that are not Smith.
Our lazy Anglo-Saxon tongues.
He did some really nice miniatures. He was painting up his plague. His first set of plague have a sickly, they're just the stage threes. They're the old stage threes though, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. And, they're very sickly, greenish, yellowish, pale, really sick. And I do like them a lot. I especially like the bases. They got like the caution, but it's green and black caution with like, it looks like acid etched. I think it's a really nice effect he did on the bases, and they look awesome with their green glowing eyes.
They are amazing. I really, really do like these guys. Like they, you can tell this isn't his first rodeo with a paintbrush. He's a fantastic painter, but he came from with an eye for something. Then he brought a whole new aesthetic to those models. Are what, 6-7 years old now? And I haven't seen them with some of the things he did with the bases and the color combinations.
Camouflage pants. He did like a urban camouflage where it's blue and white and gray. And it's, yeah, looks cool. Very well done. Yeah, making those old miniatures look new again. And he did also that with the plague doggies. I like the plague dogs. I've always enjoyed them, even though when they're attacking me and killing things that they shouldn't kill. But he did them. Very similar aesthetic, but he did almost like, there's like almost like a meat color to them, eh? That pinkish, like when you get some raw meat, it's almost got that tone to some of the dog there.
Yeah, it looks like what you imagine chicken nuggets look like before they're cooked. Whatever extruding material comes out of the machine before it's pressed into the nugget shape. That's the color.
Yeah. So that is a nice effect if you're going for a McNugget, uncooked McNuggets.
Mm.
And he also did the what do you call these? The highlight miniatures. He did the stage twos and the stage one. I'll get to the stage one, but the stage twos are cool because they have like red armor on. Like instead of doing their body like their plates, like everybody else does, he made it look like they're wearing like some kind of armor with their pink bodies underneath. I think that's a nice effect too. Once again, showing something that I really haven't seen that where it's not part of their bodies. They're actually wearing something. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. He came at this from a new, fresh perspective that, I don't remember anyone ever doing that before.
And even the stage one, he did it with the green head and it looks like it's inside a bony armor, blackish carapace. Instead of that, once again, I guess it is still part of his body, but it looks like he's wearing it instead of it's him, you know? Like it's a different effect. Very nice.
Just the time he took to make the bases and everything, that's a full-on project, and hopefully he's enjoying the game and he's playing and they're, you know, putting those out on the table, because that's a good job.
And he's got his glamour shot on some rusted-up terrain with the whole group there causing trouble. And I don't know if that's his strike force, but I would want to face that because that looks pretty mean.
Yeah.
Next is our old buddy Boston Miniatures. Boston Miniatures actually has his own YouTube channel now, so you have to check that out. It is called Dead Zone TV, so go check that out. He's painting and showing off how to do basing and stuff. But this was him doing a new aberration. He decided he didn't like the way aberration, just like Jack didn't, but Jack was like, I'm going to go extreme. And Boston Miniatures was like, you didn't go extreme, buddy. This is extreme.
Yeah. I thought, okay, I stood mine up and gave him a pretty, you know, a pretty bipedal stance. And Boston Miniatures said, okay, here, hold my beer. And now he's that aberration has run up the stairs in Philadelphia.
Yep, and he's doing the Rocky pose. He is almost double the height of a stage one. Like, that's how big an aberration is when you stretch him out. Obviously, this is a lot of green stuff and a lot of remolding, but it's generally the bits. It's the right bits. It's just he kind of tore it apart to make it stand up straight. And he is huge. And I like how he put this shot with all the other, he's got it next to an Iron Ancestor, two regular models, and a stage one, and it towers over all of them.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's not hiding from anybody. You can shoot him anywhere on the board. Although you're never getting a clear shot with this guy either, so that's good. That's why bases don't matter.
Well, that's old meme, but it checks out.
He's awesome.
I saw the pre-painted version. Yes, the shoulders, he had to pivot the shoulders. The shoulders are green stuffed to a degree, and there was a couple other small spots, but for the most part, that's 100% what you can do if you take the time and have a vision.
How did he cut it apart? Like, I've had a hell of a time cutting normal miniatures apart, but these things are all spiky and you can't hold on to it. Like, I wonder how he actually cut it into its composite parts, because that would be the hardest bit for me. Maybe a bandsaw or something?
I don't know.
Because what was I trying to cut? Oh, I think it might have been a strider or something. I was trying to cut. I was trying to make his legs so he could crouch down, and just trying to cut through plastic and on a uneven shape is so hard. And I was using like a handsaw. I can only imagine how hard this was. I hope he used some kind of electric device.
We'll have to ask him.
Next is Jeffrey George. He is crazy, and he's making what's it called? I forget which version this is, but he's, instead of making it into a one model, he's making it into two. It's a nightmare on the bottom with a guy riding on top with a gun.
Well, I've always said, don't trust a guy with two first names. And this highlights it right here. Everyone look, he's making Bierman cavalry.
Yeah. It's a, I think it might be, it's either the Wiener gun or what's the other thing that's big like that? I can't remember. He's making it that he doesn't have the model, so he's making it into this. So,
well, he's,
or he has the model and he just was like, no, that's not good enough. I'm doing this. And he made Veerman Cavalry for Dead Zone, which is great. And he modded up I think that's a Forge Father gun that he gave the Veerman that he's put some extra bits on with some styrene, it looks like. And I think genius. The more you can do with these old models that you can mix and match and move them around, I'm all for it, and I love this. I can't wait to see it painted up.
Well, Jeffrey's a mad lad. That there was no need for this in the world, but yet here it is.
Yep.
Well, and we're right now, we don't see what he has planned for the paint job and the basing and everything like that, but already it's a bit of a nightmare. Ooh, pun intended.
Speaking of rats, Ian Davies is the next person. He did his Veerman. And I like these because it's, I like the really pale blue on them. They have like almost like a baby blue, which everybody does their rats orange or yellow or like gaudy colors, but I like the color on this mixed with their rat-like brown skin or fur. Skin, I guess. It's not really fur on most of them. I really like the mix of the two colors, and I think he did a really good job on these.
Oh yeah, look, the basing, everything. It's a very nice, well, obviously very skilled, but like nice, the way everything kind of is the compilation, the
yeah, compilation. Aesthetically. It's aesthetically pleasing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. And I don't know if I've, that's not a full strike team, is it? Let me see.
No, you're missing a leader, I think.
I don't know.
Oh no, he's a progenitor, I guess, the guy right there, yeah. It could be. You got crawlers, you got creepers. Actually, I think it's all crawlers, isn't it? Nope, there's a creeper. And, or the other way around. I can't remember which one's which. And then you got the Nightmare there. Big
Veerman guy, but, yeah. Got the Night Terror. I really like the bases and the colors and
all
that.
Yeah, and all the bases are, like, you can tell he made those bases. It's not like a print. It's not, like, stamped on there. He actually took bits and glued them on and put wire on there and stuff. Really nice job. And then we have our old buddy, our vampire hunter in residence, Caradram. He did his Veerman Tunnel Runners, a whole unit of three Tunnel Runners running the tunnels. And he did kind of yellow, goldish yellow with red armor on them, which red accents on the blade and stuff. I think they really pop. Once again, a nice color scheme for Veerman that you don't get much is the get the red, more of a red color on their armor, which I like a lot.
Yeah, that sinister red and black look that you would attribute to other races and factions maybe, but it works on them, but especially with the gold. You had that gold in there.
Yeah.
He's got a good eye.
Yes, once again, expert painter. And expert modder, because he also did his own version of a Tangle, and it's very similar to the real Tangle, but none of this is the real Tangle.
It's as close as you're ever going to get while making your own, I think.
Those are the side pieces are from a Forgefather tank, I think. From the little tank. What do they call that thing? Here what it's called. I think that's what's from, I'm pretty sure. And I don't know what the model in the back is, but he's got a Veerman head on it. But that's the body, unless it's all green stuff. It might be all green stuff, that whole body there.
Could be, because the arm with a knife is definitely a arm. That knife is classic. I don't know. That's a sign of a good modeler when you can't tell what's green stuff or not. Like, obviously the blanket is. But yep. The rest of it is like, what is that? Where did that come from?
The rats, I think, might be from a set of maybe a D&D set or something. They're definitely not Mantic rats, but I like them.
I actually kind of like them being as pronounced and standing up as they are, more so than the original model.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing I like a lot more than the original model is the fact that it's on tracks. He took the tracks off that same Forgefather vehicle and put them underneath, so it's not just, I think in the real one it's a bunch of rats pulling it along or something, isn't it?
It's hundreds of little rats that kind of like walking with it on its back, yeah.
I like the tracks idea better. I think this is it's like the same model, but better. This is what the Tangle should have been, I think.
Really?
It's like the same concept, but like done better, I think. I like this a lot more. And the guy in the back reminds me more of a priest, which kind of fits in with the lore a bit more, that it's, I guess in the other one, he's kind of protecting them, but this is more like he's kind of like, he's their speaker, you know? They're the enigmatic? I can't even speak anymore. They're the crazy psychic beings, and this is their speaker, kind of, you know.
He's a fantastic orator, and he's driving them forward rather than...
Yeah, he's like their priest. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Well, I was going to offer Nicodemus an apology, but you've already done so much of it, stroking his ego, that I don't think I should continue.
What did you insult him in somewhere?
The last episode, we had discussed not seeing terrors painted, and then he reminded us that he has in fact shown us pictures of the Terror painted. He's got a red scheme going on there, and I was going to say I apologize, but
yep, as we scroll down, we do see his nameless. He did more of them, and he does kind of like, it is kind of like a red and whitish-gray scheme. Once again, it's such a unique scheme that you don't see on every other people. And it does stand out. I still don't see a Terror anywhere in here, but meanwhile, right in the front, there he is. But yeah, no, you got the, he's got the Goliath going on. He's got the whole unit here. And I just really want to show off this red and black and kind of lightish gray. There's some blue undertones too. Like, all airbrushed, obviously. Like, there's a lot of airbrush going on here. And, I like the color scheme. I wanted to show it off. And you have a nice group shot of all of them painted. Especially the, carriage rams, which I really, once again, you don't see many of them painted. And he really got some cool looks to him. I like the one in the front. You can see his beady little eyes. And his proboscis. And I do like the fades he got on his tentacles coming out of the mouth. It's not just one color. He kind of goes from either black to red to white, or white to red to black. I think that looks cool. Gives some more flavor.
Yeah, a nice blend of the colors, organic looking. I like the looks of his needle drones. We've discussed
them before. Yeah.
4 or 5 episodes ago, but he redid the wings, and now you can see them in full-fledged.
Painted, like, yeah.
Insectoid things. Yeah, they're very nice. I like it.
Because we were wondering if those were clear wings, and they are. Yeah, he painted, must have masked them off while he spray painted, airbrushed the rest, and yeah, then he highlighted them with some black on the wings. So those do look great. Once again, Nicodemus doing good work. He's doing the good work. Next we have Peter Brown, and this one is just a little highlight. He did a diorama with a stage one, and he made it as green and gooey as possible. It's almost like a Toxic Avenger stage one, and there's like a goo to it, and he's standing in a sewer made of mantic bits. And there's a toxic barrel behind him spewing out toxic stuff. So it is like the Toxic Avenger Stage 1A.
Like the inside of the diorama, he's done something to the walls to really make it look like the, he's texture painted the walls and stuff. And on the back, he's made like goop and stuff hanging off the. It's a very, if you said Toxic Avenger, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it looks like something the Ninja Turtles
would
be living in. But You hit the nail right on the head. Everything looks liquidy and like sloppy and moist.
Yeah, even the stage 1A, he covered it in, looks like, I would think it's, liquid medium, like the stuff you make ponds and stuff out of, that he kind of filled in a lot of the craggy bits with it. So he's kind of got that mushy, almost like it's, you could touch it and squish right into it look to him.
Yeah.
It's really disgusting.
Like he would lurch out in front of the car and the RoboCop would hit him.
Yeah, and he'd just explode, yep. Yeah. So it's not as scary as a regular Stage 1A, but a lot more disgusting.
Yes.
Yeah, they're really nicely done. And I don't know, he's just doing dioramas, but I like it. Like we're just saying, people just painting things for painting's sake. This is one of them. And we also have Sega and Ventura, which I think we've had him on recently. And he has his what are they called, Jack?
That's
the nameless thing we always say that nobody has.
That's the Terror.
Terror. That's him. I never remember the names. If it's not Enforcers and Asterians, I have no idea. But he did like a nice cell shaded version of him. I like how he shaded it. Like you can see the segments almost of it. So it gives that pop art kind of feel to him.
That's the new hotness. The cell shading and really like, I know GW really started with the over the top, like cartoonish colors and the, hey, I'm 6 feet away and it still looks like it's.
And they do a lot of like panel lining and stuff, but this is different. This is actual like Borderlands cell shading. Like,
yes. This is something different. You can't compare. This isn't copying another style. This is where they make it look like it's a specific type of cartoon, like a specific
Or even if that, it seems almost like there's been a Photoshop filter put on them, like the, you know, pencil drawing or crayon or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got an ogre also, and it's in the same style, which is cool. These poor enforcer, or the GCPS guys are about to be eaten by him. And, he's also got a stinker, or an inker, as they're called now.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And the GCPS guy's like, you go over there. Don't come near me.
Get.
Go. You're not supposed to be here. We actually, looked at his GCPS guys before with their color scheme. And we have a really neat, rifleman. Once again, showing off that style of, like, he looks straight out of, like, a painting. And it's a really neat way that you do it. Like, it's so pop arty.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going for the gritty realism.
No.
It's specifically done in, like, a watercolor.
Yeah.
It catches the eye, and it's a very nice, different way to do your models.
Yeah, very, very different and very cool. And, we have the gunslinger in the same style. And I like the markings on the armor and stuff to show it's like, these guys have some, ritualistic stuff going on where they mark their armor up and get some war paint going. I like that too. Give them a little more personality. And we have the Fear, I believe, is the one with the searchlight on his shoulder.
And I've seen plenty of like these done up, and you know, the best part of the hobby aspect, the game aside, just the models and seeing something like this where you look and go, that is different and inspiring, and really, it really someone took the time to put their own flair on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't see this guy's copying anybody.
No. You'd be hard pressed to see another strike team that looked like this.
And then we have Steve Evans, continuing on, people showing us their terrors. We have a green and purple and fleshy one here. And I like the clear base. I'm a pro clear base. Our original set had clear bases because we liked the idea of seeing through them. Eventually, it just, we didn't have any more clear bases, so we went to regular bases, but I do like the idea, especially in Star Saga. Clear bases, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. The problem with the clear acrylic, you drop that model onto a cotton ball from 2 millimeters off the away, and that clear base, and it's gone. So we've had a lot of models that started on clear bases and have since transitioned.
Although I see this, you can see the back of this this model. You can see that he actually pinned the tail up into the clear base, and maybe put some pins in the feet too to hold him in there. So he will not be flying off this base. He did not make the mistake we did. But I do like that green. It's almost like a emerald coralish green.
Looks like patinaed copper.
The same idea, yeah.
But it's that color, but then you add the flesh color of the tendrils and stuff. It's a pretty unsettling combination.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I like about the Nameless. We get lots of different versions of them, and I'm enjoying every single one. We also have Silan Reward. We've had this person on before also. They did their Enforcers, and once again, it's a color scheme. It's just like, you don't see orange and white enforcers every day. And he did a whole unit of these guys. And beautiful. Really detailed, like the detail work alone. Trying to make the enforcers look interesting is hard because they are kind of like faceless people. But to pick out all the individual like armor plates and do all that and to make it look this good, that's hard. And I'm really impressed by it.
Look, just the bases are...
Yeah.
The detail work on everything, each one's like a little diorama almost.
The one dog drone, he's up on a barrel. That's really cool. Yeah, really well done for that. And he also did the plague. Very standard plague coloring, but really well done once again. And showing them off. He actually made the plague swarm look cool. It was a nice job. And he did the the Forge Fathers. The Forge Fathers are in the brown and orange classic colors, but it's a different orange, I think, from the Enforcer one. The Enforcer one's almost like a blood orange, a little redder. So these are the classic orange and brown Marauders. All well done. All the details picked out. And really good job.
Yeah. Obviously, a very skilled painter, but multiple factions, multiple the time put in. I don't know. I don't see him in the community, like posting or anything anywhere. But he must have an active gaming situation because that's a lot of work.
Yeah, I think it was on Dead Zone Fanatics. I saw these ones, so he is posting there. So hopefully, he posts some more. I think he was just showing off the ones he has actually completed. And then we get our buddy Rick Hall. We teased it earlier, but the Adepticon, he's running the Adepticon tournament. And one of the missions he has in there that is available to download, I think it's on Dead Zone Fanatics, so you can get the book, is there you get to fight for control of an aberration. So needless to say, he needed a lot of aberrations. So he started going crazy. And he did the regular ones. He's got a bunch. Then he was like, okay, I'm going to do a Carnage and Venom version.
And as soon as I saw Venom, I'll never unsee it. Like, I don't know why he got that, like, in his head to do the eyes and everything like that. But now it worked. So as soon as I saw it, I was like, I will always see Venom.
It looks just like Venom, yep. And then he did one attribute to us. He did a green one because we both of our aberrations are green. So he attributed this one to us. He did a green one with the bony carapace. Really well done. Who's going to be a star at the tournament. So whoever gets to play with this one is the lucky person.
And yeah, obviously. That's hopefully we'll be able to applaud you as you win the tournament, having been blessed with the Dead Zone, the podcast official aberration. But that aside, Rick has not been painting miniatures that
I was going to say, yep.
And the first ones that he's done to now, I'm looking at that going, hopefully he's going to enter the Brush for Death. Like that's the Brush for Death. That's an entry right there.
And then you can see the he's got, what, 8 of them right here, all his aberrations. And, yeah, you can see the Venom and the Carnage one, and it looks like a one that looks like he's been burned horribly in the background. But then he's got the purple ones in the middle, and he's got a red one, like yours, putting his fist out, like he's about to punch you in the face. And I really like the head on that one. It's got the bone head, and he looks really well done. And the old, good old green one with the nice, he's crushing a plant as he stomps forward. Yeah, Rick is really crazily improved. I think it's because he's had good teachers. He's watched all of the people around him. He didn't have all the bad traits yet, and he was able to take everything in, and he's doing really good work nowadays. And then we have Tyler. Tyler was posting up in the Discord, in Family Gamers Discord, his work on his Nameless. And once again, I like Tyler's. If I was going to do a color scheme, now seeing this, I really like this one. It's all gray, except for their faces are all green. It's just such a muted, my kind of style of color scheme. I really like this one. They're almost like ash, like rock people instead of crustaceans.
He leaned in hard on the Cthulhu aspect, and it really works with the color scheme.
Yeah, and he did the ogre, as everyone does, and I like the highlighting on the shell, all the white on the gray, and the pale green with the yellow eyes, really well done. Still hasn't painted his bases, though, I'll notice. They're all just black there, Tyler. I think if anybody was going to go for clear bases, Tyler should be the one. You should rip everybody off and put them on clear bases. Say, call it done.
I know there's a lot of finger wagging and a lot of tutting at but his bases have been decorated and painted far more numerous than they ever were.
Yes.
So I think they're just a little extra time away from being something.
Yeah, Tyler, if you do your bases, please let us know.
Yeah, it's important to us. We thoroughly care.
Well, we'll put a retraction into the next podcast.
Ooh, so Basewatch 2019 will continue until we either get confirmation that the bases are in fact painted, or justice is served and someone steps on them all.
Or just takes them.
Okay. So now we both we took it to an extreme that we really shouldn't have.
The last person we're going to talk about is someone called Kowach. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Sounds Eastern European.
Kowach or Coachella? No, something like that. And he did a bunch of Nameless also. I like to be showing off the Nameless because they're the new things right now. He did his Needle Drones, and he saw that butt piece, and he's like, you know what? I think these look like bees. So he's got the bumblebee kind of backs with the nice yellow, and the fronts where their mouths open, it's all purple and blue and icky, and very nice.
Yeah, that when you see that, and now it looks like a Yellow Jacket's backside, and as soon as you see it, you go, "Oh, yeah, obviously." Like,
yeah,
it's look, that's what it should have been. That's what it has to be. Like that. That is. There's no other way that you can paint that and not
see those lines now.
Yeah, yeah.
He also did a bunch of ogres. He's got four ogres here, I think. Five ogres. And I know for this one, he wanted to go really bright colors. So he went bright blue with their armor. And I like the red fingertips. I think that's kind of cool. It really highlights their claws. And he did orange tentacles with bright green. Like he went really far outside of his normal comfort zone of, you know, like us. He's more realistic kind of painter to go like really bright, stand out. It'll look good in battle reports. Nice standing up.
And an unpleasant collection of colors used. Like it's very unsettling. It looks, it in nature, when you see those colors, you go, oh,
that's dangerous. That. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm not eating that caterpillar, or I'm not going to nestle up against that wiggly bit.
Next he did the, what are these, the leader with the brain in his butt. What are they called?
It's the Psychotroid.
Psychotroid.
I'm going to say wiggly guy with the big butt is also acceptable. I'm going to, in fact, say that that's probably what he would ask if you were to ask him.
Yeah, a cool base with the grates, and it looks like the thing's trying to like reach through for something under the grates. And you did a little bit of that cell shading in the proboscis.
Tentacles.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he did the lobster kind of cooked lobster shell with the big green butt. Brain on the end there. Nicely done.
They have a lot of detail on the sides that I hadn't seen really highlighted too much because the big brain is begging to be
looked at.
And the wiggly bits that Sir Big Butt has there, but there's a whole bunch of details. There are a bit more of an intricate model than you see at first glance. And I only know that because I very quickly blocked in one with practicing with a new airbrush. And I was like, oh, look at this. Look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to see the actual like stuff they sculpted into it.
Yeah.
The Craigs on the armor. I think the Scuttlers here, his next ones, they really highlight your idea of something that's poisonous on the back where it's this blank. He put like a little black dot with a yellow dot in the middle. That really reminds me of poisonous creatures. Like you see that, and once again, you're like, "Oh, these guys, they're going to bite you, and you're going to get some disease."
Yeah, if you're in this store buying bananas, and one of those comes crawling out, you go,
yeah, exactly. That's the kind of bug you get from those guys. And we have another version. We have the side version of the Psychotroid, as you were saying. And he did really nice textures on the inside there with the black and the yellow and the underside of the carapace. I think he did really well there. Looks nice with the brain. And he did the inkers once again with that, the sack has a blotted kind of, what do you call it? I don't know what would you call that? Camouflage, I guess, in nature? What do you call that when they have, decorations on them?
It depends on what it's for, but camouflage denotes something that says, hey, I want to hide. I think that's more like a
getaway.
like flourish for mating, like when all the Inkers, I imagine they mate en masse, like there's a big pit, and they all just sort of climb in there and just start rubbing all their tendrils and emitting discharge of some sort till they're all slick with it.
It kind of reminds me of mushrooms too, the backs of these guys. Like crazy magic mushrooms, they have the weird designs on them.
It does kind of, like, you know, remember the puff balls? You would pick it up and it would eat puff, 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 and all the spores would fly out. And
so
either way, I think those might be some of my favorite versions of the Inker so far. I really like that big, fleshy, leathery sack.
Yeah, it looks like you should be able to lick it and get high. Then he did his Riflemen. His Riflemen are green. Like, once again, you can see airbrush work all over this thing. You get the light green heading into dark green on their upper body, which I like a lot. And then you get the all the tentacles and stuff he did, like, in a really, like, noxious yellow. Like, a really, like, acidic yellow, almost. Like it. Hey, his bases aren't done either. We can make fun of him like Tyler.
Well, I was going to comment on the bases. I think they are done. I think there's...
They're actually emitting stuff out of them? Like, they're squishy?
It looks like they're oozing, like goo from the... Like, a discharge from their tendrils. Like they're moist. Like they're...
Yeah, maybe. Please, Coach, please tell us what you were going for here. Is it done, or is it was an oozy ooziness coming off them? And we have the assassins. But you don't see many assassins, actually. And these guys, I like the red eyes, the kind of that menacing look on the red eyes. And the zenith of the yellow with the black is a nice touch in the bluish skin. Really nice combo, I think. And they do look menacing. If you saw a dark alley and these guys are coming out of the shadows, yeah, I wouldn't want to be there.
A little frightening.
Even that yellow light coming down almost reminds me of the old, like, lights, the street lamps that were, like, the yellow, like, that color. And it almost looks like they are in the shadows and the lights is shining down on them. I like it. And we get the gunslingers. Gunslingers are purple with black and the red tentacles. Going for his colors. Another bright set where it's you can tell they're all the same army, but they're all different colors, which adds that, I don't know, that's, it's like a collage of colors. They're the rainbow of a faction.
The Benetton of
yeah. Yes. So you get the gunslingers. Once again, cool color schemes.
Like you said, for battle reports, coaches' battle reports, you'll be able to see them. They'll stand out for you know, not only aesthetically, but also just functionally, that you're not going to miss that purple.
Yeah. And then we get the Terror? I can never remember this guy's name. He's a Terror, isn't he?
Now, see, he's the one that's not the Terror. He's the...
What's the other one? Terror, Fear, and... Anyways, this guy's cool. He Coach went all colors on this guy. He's like orange and red and yellow and green and blue and purple. Like, it's he represents his whole army.
Kind of like a... I don't know, you could see where his blue flesh might be, and he's wearing a suit of like a prismatic armor of some sort. Like, it's, there's a lot going on there, but
But it's cohesive, I think, in a way that's because even his tail, you can see in the back, is the blue with the purple. Like I say, he's wearing that armor over top of his blue body.
It's a bold choice. It looks like the color shifting paint, you know. Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. Like, you throw a little pearlescent on that, you could get some real colors going.
But it looks like he went out of his way to make it look like he had used a color-changing, shifting paint by doing all those blends and stuff. It's really good.
Next and last is the Fear. He's got a blue armor with some gold highlights, and then his skin, his tentacles are like a look like they're just like extruding out of him like a silly putty. It's like... If the colors mix together, it almost looks like you can see through into, like, through the layers of his skin. Like, he's almost got like see-through skin. He's quite disgusting.
Almost like entrails. Like
yeah,
like his guts have come out rather than he's got arms. He's more like his His abdomen burst open or something. Yeah.
Coach, and that with the green on the, once again, it's got that pearlescent on it. He's really got that down on that being a disgusting alien creature. But I really like, the thing I like the most probably about this is his searchlight or laser or whatever is on his shoulder. It really reminds me of the War of the Worlds aliens, the tripods, the, their gun on, that's on their top. They had a very similar kind of like look to that, their lens that shot out.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like how he did that. Once again, it's easy just to do silver or some other color in there to represent a reflecting thing. But he went over the top doing the colors on these guys. And it, like I say, it was way out of Coach's, his usual range of what he does. And I think it was successful. And I can't wait to see the battle reports because I think it will be cray cray.
Yes, for sure. Especially since they do like their Star Saga, and maybe they'll be making their appearance in, on their table in multiple different ways.
Yep. I think that comes to the end of the show. We have some things to talk about, but that wraps up the content. What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I've got no hour stuff this weekend.
Yeah, me neither.
We're supposed to be getting the Storm of the Century, and I thought this is going to be hobby weekend, but then Punisher dropped today, as well as first episode of the Grand Tour. So both of those are not ones that I want to watch while painting.
I was going to say, you could paint and watch them at the same time. You want to pay attention, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of paying attention, you can go to our Patreon, support us. We're just under $50, but we're still going to do a live show this month because, hey, we love you and we like doing live shows. So we'll do a live show this month, probably in the next couple weeks. And if you do feel like throwing in a tip, a buck here or there, we do enjoy it, mostly because it pays for this podcast to exist without us losing money every month. And you can also go to cafepress.ca/deadzonepodcast. You can buy shirts and other merch. We don't get any money off that. We just like the idea of people wearing our stuff.
That's pure ego. There's no monetary incentive.
And they're cool. Come on. They're cool.
Yeah.
Represent, please. If we see you at Adepticon wearing your stuff, we're usually stunned and we're usually like too shy to say, hey, that's cool. But hey, that's cool.
Did you say I'm too shy?
Well, Jack, you would probably just go lick them or something.
Hey!
And also, we just got on Spotify. We are now on Spotify. If you want to get away from all your other podcatchers, you can go to Spotify and search for Dead Zone the Podcast, and you will find us now on them, which is, I think, pretty cool.
I don't want to pull back the curtain too far, but I didn't know that we were big enough to get on Spotify. We had done a little bit of looking earlier on, and I just saw the message, hey, we're on Spotify now.
Well, I had to suck a few dicks, but we did it.
Ooh, easy. Easy. Get that language out of the way. If we're going to do team building exercises, George will have a fit.
I'll have to beep that one probably.
Okay, that's good.
And we've also, on the down low a bit, for the last few months we've been trying it out, we have a Discord. And now, if you go to Discord and search for Dead Zone Podcast, or the link is also in Facebook, and it'll be in the show notes, you can come join our Discord, start interacting. We kind of had like a test run for a few months with just like a few of our Patreon supporters and stuff, but I think we're opening it up for everybody to discuss, post their stuff. Enjoy, have a nice conversation with other fans and Jack and I, and also other people like Boston Miniatures and Caradram and those kind of people stop by. So please do come join.
I am in charge of security there, so you know it's not going to be a big fun free for all. But
yeah, but there's also been a bit of a ghost in the machine who's been changing the security protocols while you haven't been looking. So
what? What? Okay, that's it. We're on lockdown. Okay, everyone.
No one can join Discord now.
That's it.
But yeah, it's this live show. I don't know. We'll probably do like a little looking forward to 2019, what we want to get accomplished, and maybe do a little of that. How's that sound, Jack?
You know what? And I've also been thinking our Dead Zone Television DZTV has been for the most part like an introduction to our pals and acquaintances throughout. We started with Adam and we've moved Coach and Pat, but
Tyler
and Tyler. You know, like but I would like to see maybe if we transitioned now into maybe like a hobby hangouts where we get someone with, and we just sit and paint, we shoot the breeze and talk a little.
That'd be fun too. Yeah, that we used to do those with Coach, but Coach is now doing his Family Gamers ones, which are a little bit more like his vlogs almost, which are fun. Which one have just come out? So if you go to Family Gamers, when this podcast came out, it was recorded live this last weekend, and. Yeah, he's doing that more. So yeah, we could kind of fill the hobby hangout kind of thing a little bit too. We'll see how it goes. I know Pat wants to come on to talk about Adeptcon and the upcoming events. So we'll have him on sometime, probably on the podcast and also on maybe doing some Adept prep on the live show. So we'll have some fun. And as always, you can find that on the YouTubes at our Dead Zone, the podcast on YouTube. And I think that about wraps it up. What do you think, Jack?
I think that's a very good start to the year.
Yep, this has been 2019 episode of Dead Zone the Podcast, the only one for 2019. It was a little longer, so that's all we're giving you. and 2020.
And then other than you claiming to have sucked multiple dicks, I think we got a pretty good quality show out here.
They're on Spotify. I get results, Jack.
Hey, we're on Spotify. Next episode. We've been banned from Spotify.
Yeah, I wonder if they have any kind of... I don't think they have any kind of restrictions, but we'll see. So, until next time for episode 93, our slow march to 100, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
I don't think we had introduced ourselves at the beginning of this episode, did we?
I don't remember. But well, everyone knows it's us.
Yeah. If you don't know it's us, that's us. We said now. And we'll see you next month, the month of February. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.
Nope, no ball grabbing this year.
No, that's a shame.
I know you're getting your hands warmed up and everything. You're practicing your grip. You had that, like, stress ball.
Yeah, I was, I have a whole gymnasium, a hand-nasium, designed just so I can, to firmly cup his manhood, his gentleman sausage.
That's horrible.
It's almost as though, you brought it up, but then also were able to, feign recoiling in horror just so that you could win both ways. Almost.
Well, I think you went farther than you could have, or you should have, I should say.
I could have went farther.
You could have went farther, yeah.